Thank you. You are the survivors of our Artha Forum. I thank you and I congratulate you. It has really been a joy, I think, for everyone. The enrichment of sharing our realizations with one another has been a very growing and an enlightening experience. The concept of the Artha Forum is very much the inspiration of Rajiv and Sanjeev and several others who have great deep devotion to the principles of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna. And the Bhagavad Gita teaches universal principles. That if we water the root of the tree, naturally, that water will extend to every part of the tree. The leaves, the flowers, the branches, the twigs. And similarly, sarvasya cha ham hridi shani vishto matasimetiru jnanam apohanam cha aham sarvasya prabhavo mat sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvit. Krishna's in everyone's heart. And Krishna explains in the Gita that the one supreme God is the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from the absolute truth. Therefore, Bhagavan is the root of all existence. And when we love God, we naturally love everyone. This is the first commandment of both the Old Testament and the New Testament. To love God with all our heart, mind, and soul. And what is the natural result of such love? We will love our neighbor as ourself. Nidyavanaya sampani brahmani gabihastine. The Bhagavad Gita teaches us everyone is our neighbor. All varieties of human life, whatever our sex, whatever our religion, whatever our nationality, whatever our race, whatever our social, economic status may be, all species, the cows, the dogs, the cats, the elephants, wherever there's life, life is sacred. Because all life is a part of God. Krishna tells in Gita, Aham Bija Pratapita, that I am the father and mother of all beings. On the spiritual level, there is actual equality. On a material level, equality is subjected to laws and rules and regulations, but in many ways there just isn't equality. I'm a male. I cannot give birth to a baby, so I'm not equal to a female. Some people are very highly educated, but they're not equal to someone who knows how to grow crops in a tree, in a field. So we all have our variety, but unity and diversity is only deep when it's on the spiritual level, as His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Maharaj was explaining. Spiritual solutions are very much required within this very chaotic world we're living in. How to actually see the true equality of all beings. Then, compassion is not just a mental exercise. It's not just something regulated by government officials, which is necessary. As was said, in the absence of an enlightened monarch, democracy's the best thing there is. But the Bhagavad Gita teaches that each and every one of us, as human beings, has a responsibility to everyone else. Nature, when we have a spiritual connection, we see it all as God's nature. My Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada, he used to say, when you talk about nature, the natural question is, whose nature? You have your nature. He has his nature, she has her nature, and I have my nature. This is God's nature. The sun, the moon, the clouds and the rain, Mother Earth, and every living being, whether you're an insect or whether you're a PhD human, we all equally, totally depend on the gifts of nature. We all depend on the air, on the water, on the food, on the sunlight. From a spiritual perspective, we understand our intimate relationship with each other. And when we learn to love God, who is the root of the tree of all existence, then naturally that love must extend unconditionally to everyone. And that is the fullest, deepest compassion. And what the spiritual science tells us is it is the potential of each and every one of us. It's not just a concept. It's not just an impossible theory. It is who we really are. It simply needs to be uncovered. And true spirituality is not about being a Christian or a Muslim or a Jain or a Jew or a Sikh or a Parsi. True spirituality is about excavating that wealth that is inherent within each of us. And as we discover it within ourselves, we can actually recognize it within others. I have a dear friend, Shyam Sundar. I was just with him about a week ago. He was the personal secretary of my guru, Srila Prabhupada, for many years. He's now writing a book. But he's one of the world's foremost geologists. And I remember one time I was driving with him in British Columbia, Western Canada, and there were just mountains. And I'm looking at the mountains, and I'm just seeing mountains. And he's telling me, there's sapphires in that mountain. And he's telling me which minerals and which jewels are in each mountain. All I see is mountains. I said, how do you know? He said, don't you see that the color of the stone in that mountain right there? And he was showing me the things that we ordinarily see. I was seeing the same colors as he was, but I was just seeing a color. He was seeing what it indicates is inside. Because he understands the science. So the spiritual science teaches us to actually be able to see the divinity within all living beings. And we also see what kind of coverings. This eco-village, it's a community. We have an orphanage, we have a monastery, we have so many families living. We're trying to live in a sensitive way that's more harmonious with nature through this concept of symbiotic biotechnology or something like that. Where we understand the value of everything. The concept of waste is a modern misconception. The real waste is when we waste our time. When we waste our time by forgetting what really the purpose and meaning in life actually is, that ecological pollution within our hearts is what creates all the pollution in the world around us. Because when we forget our true wealth and we start chasing after the mirages of this world, our heart becomes polluted with greed, arrogance, envy, limitless physical and emotional passions. I need power. I need fame. I need more and more property and more assets and more money. I've been in this little body of mine for 64 years. I've never seen any of these things give any sustainable happiness to anyone. And according to the scriptures, that is a correct analysis. What are we looking for? We're so distracted, bombarded by these weapons of mass destruction constantly. So many promises. If you have this, you'll be happy. If you get this, you'll be happy. But the Bhagavad Gita teaches us very clearly, all these acquisitions and the need for them is like putting fuel on a fire. The fire never is satisfied. Whether you're a millionaire or a billionaire or a trillionaire or a quadrillionaire, in our Vedic scriptures, even Indra, he's more than a quadrillionaire. But he's always getting in all kinds of trouble because he's still not satisfied. What is the story of Narayan Rishi? Narayan Rishi, he's an avatar written of in Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures. He was living in Badrik Ashram, Badrinath, and performing tapasya. But Narayan Rishi was performing tapasya for the purpose of giving blessings to all living beings within the creation. Was hardly eating. Badrinath is cold. They didn't have any warm clothes. They didn't have any house. So such severe austerity. Indra was thinking, he must want my kingdom. That's why he's doing this tapasya. He's trying to get power to conquer me. Because you see, the whole world is a mirror of our own state of consciousness. If we have envy, we see so much envy everywhere. If we have greed, we will see so much greed everywhere. If we're looking for opportunities for seva, for selfless service, we will see limitless service everywhere. So Indra, because he's so attached to his wealth, his power, his beautiful ladies that he enjoys with, he was thinking that if Narayan Rishi is working so hard with this tapasya, he wants what I have. So he tried to somehow or other pollute Narayan Rishi by sending every kind of incredible temptation. The best he had in the spiritual world, he surrounded Narayan Rishi in Badrinath to seduce him. And nothing worked. Finally, he created incredible, he sent the most beautiful, lovely ladies who were singing and dancing around Narayan Rishi. And Narayan Rishi, he smiled, and he created a lady that was millions of times more beautiful than all of Indra's. Just created and said, Indra, you take her. I don't want anything you have. Because he was self-satisfied. Vishayavani vartante niraharasya dehina rasa varatram rasopyasya param drisvani vartate. Krishna tells in Gita that when we experience a higher taste, then we're no longer corrupted by the things of this world. And that higher taste is what is within us. So much of the problem of the world today is a misconception of real wealth. What is it? Real wealth is not about things. Real wealth is about our values. The inner love, happiness, and contentment that we find, that it's not subjective to circumstantial situations of this world. That is real wealth. Because ultimately, everyone's looking for pleasure. Not just the pleasure of touching things or seeing things or hearing things, but the pleasure of what's within our own hearts. Because nothing could touch the heart. Only God's love can touch our heart. And the greatest happiness when our heart is clean is to make that connection and share it with others. The will to serve, the spirit of compassion, and the happiness that is derived from that is real wealth. And money, property, knowledge, skills can give us that highest satisfaction when they are utilized for that purpose. The Artha Forum is a group of business people who really have this spirit. They have children. They have husbands and wives. They're really dynamic and competitive in their fields, whether it be investment or software, industry or banking. They're dynamic. They're powerful. They're competitive. They're aggressive. But like Arjuna was really aggressive, and he was really passionate, but not out of arrogance and ego. Out of compassion. To share is the joy of humanity. Real humanity evolves from the obsessive need to get stuff for myself to the joy of giving. And the more I have, the more I can give. So just like a mother is so highly motivated 24 hours a day to take care of the child, so similarly, whether we're in business or politics or farming, agriculture, or in science, education, or whether we're sadhus, the greatest motivating force is to acquire more and more and more so that I can be a more benevolent, efficient instrument of a grace that is higher than me. And that's God's grace. It's really some gratification, but tremendous amount of agitation whenever we take credit for what we do. But it's a sheer, limitless joy when we learn the art of being an instrument of the infinite power of God's love and God's grace. It has been quoted many times during this conference. Tat tat evitaro jana. The Gita tells that what leaders do, the common people follow. The idea of Artha Forum and these conferences is, yes, to inspire people who are like-minded and to keep us individually and collectively focused on these higher values of life, so that through our example and through our character, we can share it with the world. Because as has been explained by many, anyone can preach with their words. That's called gyan. Maharaj was describing there's two types of gyan. There's gyan and vigyan. There's theoretical knowledge and there's realized knowledge. When we practice knowledge, we get realization. And when we practice, we give hope to people. In our little eco-village here, at one time, we were insisting on organic farming. We had some village people, because we had a few different incarnations of this farm. And they, from their childhood, they were made to believe it is impossible to grow crops without chemical fertilizer and chemical pesticides. Can't be done. We told them, you're not allowed to use them. They said, can you? Well, who are you? Your people are living in the cities. You're from other countries. What do you know? We know. We are farmers. I heard, because we wouldn't let them use fertilizers or pesticides, sometimes they would secretly go out in the middle of the night and spray. Because they didn't believe it could be done. We had to send a lot of them home and get people from the city to come who never farmed before. And they started growing wonderful crops, totally organically. And then the villagers thought, well, it can be done. Seeing is believing. Water harvesting. Drought is a major cause of poverty. In Maharashtra, farmers commit suicide. Farmers leave their beautiful land to go to live in a very, very overcrowded, filthy place in a city like Mumbai and become beggars. Because if there's no water, nothing grows. But the same monsoon rains that come here fall there. But instead of just walking around with an umbrella thinking, oh, it's raining again, every drop of water is a gift of God. If we understand its value, we'll do something. So because our water harvesting project has actually is fertilizing and nourishing the crops throughout the entire year, even through the summer. People see this. If we tell them water harvesting, it doesn't register. But when they see an example of the knowledge, now more and more of our villages in the area are allowing us to help them to develop water harvesting. It's a principle. This eco-village is not just alone for ourselves to live peacefully in an environmentally friendly setting. We're trying to create an example that people could find hope and faith in. And in every aspect of our life, people can find hope and faith if we have values. Ajay Piramal was speaking. He gives tremendous amount to so many people. And it's based on his devotion to Krishna. He sees that whatever he has, he's a caretaker on behalf of God. And he's doing so much. And because he's doing it, so many other people are taking notice. Whether we have a lot or a little. When Lord Ram was making the bridge across the Indian Ocean, Hanuman, who's one of our Ishtadevs here, we have a little temple of him, and in that little murti, he's holding a mountain. Hanuman, of course, in the murti, it's a little mountain. But he was carrying big mountains. He was tearing off the peaks of mountains, which weigh millions of tons or kilos. And he was putting them to float to create the bridge. And there was a little spider. You've seen the legs of a spider. They don't have very big muscles. That little spider was just kicking individual grains of sand. And the spider was right in Hanuman's pathway as he was carrying this mountain. And Hanuman said to the spider, "Move." And Ram said to Hanuman, "He's doing as much as you. In my eyes, I see the intent. That spider is, according to his capacity, helping to build this bridge. And you are doing according to your capacity. There's no difference." It's the spirit of seva that makes anything we do sacred and beautiful to our own human nature and to God, to Krishna. The greatest wealth is the enthusiasm and the joy of serving. When the ecology of the heart is polluted by this envy and arrogance and greed and everything else, that's all we see. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, the mind is like a mirror. When you look in a mirror, you're supposed to see yourself. But if the mirror is completely covered due to neglect, with layers and layers of dirt and dust and debris, that's all you see. And you look in the mirror and you see all this dust and you think, that is me. We're thinking, I am male, I am female, I am human, I am black or white or red or yellow, or I am rich or I am poor. We're thinking, this is me. I want this. I don't want this. I love this person. I hate this person. We're identifying these things. And this is mine, and this is his, and this is hers. This concept creates so much arrogance and so much envy and so much depression. It's all pollution. True dharma is the path of cleaning the mirror of the heart. This chanting of God's names, in our tradition we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. There are many names of God. It's meant simply to clean the mirror of the mind so that the ecology of our hearts becomes clean. And in that state, we see ourselves. Satchit Ananda. The living force within us is eternal, full of knowledge and full of happiness, Ananda. And what is that happiness? That happiness is the happiness of love. And how is love expressed? Where does love find its joy? In serving. So the Artha Forum is a group of people who want to share this wealth with each other. And through what we all receive, in whatever small or big ways, whether they're incremental or whether there's something wonderful in another, in a bigger way, big or small is not really important. What God gives us, we want to share. And the reason why these beautiful conferences are happening is because people like Rajiv and Sanjeev, they live by these principles. Their greatest joy, their greatest motivation in life is through their example and through whatever God gives them to share, to serve. This is such a beautiful spiritual principle. I think I'm supposed to speak something about what we can take home. Well, my first request is please make this eco-village one of your homes. It's ours. And the real beauty of this conference is how we each take responsibility in this spirit of seva, and how we share it with each other, and how we try to share it and inspire people of all walks of life, the world. I'm going to end with one little example of something that happened about a month ago. There was a person who came here to the Eco Village. In some circles, he's very well known worldwide. His name is Jason Lewis. He's the first human being to circle the earth on human power. How many of you have heard about him? Please raise your hands. I never heard of him before either. He's British, and he decided to go around the world by human power. That means without any motorized anything. Do you know how he crossed the Atlantic Ocean? He personally made a little boat, 3 feet wide, 16 feet long. And he put a little bicycle pedals with a chain and a little, propeller behind it that was only going around according to how he was pedaling. He crossed the Atlantic Ocean on that. It took him 110 days. Then he went from Portugal to Miami. He went across the entire continent of North America on roller skates. Then he made another boat, the same thing with the pedals, and he crossed the Pacific Ocean. He had a partner up to Hawaii. Then at a certain point, his partner said, "You know, I've seen enough of the world." So he was all alone on his little boat, pedaling. And it's not that he had some big boat with a motor next to him, like throwing him food and everything. He was alone. His radio only could contact anything that was close by. Most of the time, he was totally isolated. He had to figure out, you know. He told me one story. He said he was in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, somewhere near Fiji, that area. And there was a current that was pushing the opposite direction. So he would pedal 18 hours a day. And then he would have to get some rest. And whenever he took rest, his boat was behind where he started from the next day, the day before. He was getting nowhere. And he pedaled another 18 hours. took a little rest and woke up, and the boat was behind where he started the day before. 5 days went by. He didn't make one inch of progress. And there's no one he could communicate with. And he's all alone. And he's in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Would you get discouraged? He got discouraged. But he was a student of Bhagavad Gita, even though he's a British person. And he remembered karma nyevati kala, this beautiful verse in Gita where it says, do not be attached to the results of your actions. Just perform your duty. For Krishna's satisfaction. That gave him so much joy. As long as I'm attached to progress, you know, how far I'm getting, I'm really discouraged. But if I just pedal for the sake of pedaling, because that's my duty, then I'll never be discouraged. He was completely ecstatically just pedaling and pedaling. It doesn't matter if I get anywhere because I'm doing my duty. And for the next 18 days, he was brought back behind where he was. But it didn't matter to him because I'm just pedaling. But that was the strength and the inspiration he got for the rest of his trip. Not to be attached to the results. Success, failure, honor, dishonor, pleasure, pain, happiness, distress, health, disease. These dualities are going to come to everyone no matter who we are. But the Gita teaches, if we have this higher purpose to serve, that's the higher experience. It really doesn't matter. In the path of bhakti, if Krishna's pleased, that's all that matters. And he's pleased if we're just sincerely trying to do the right thing. So even though the next 13 days after he became inspired by this verse of the Gita, he didn't get anywhere, but he was completely enlivened to go out the next day. And he didn't know in his lifetime if he would ever get anywhere. But what a realization. It transformed him. And he shared it so it could transform us. Do you know why he came to this eco-village? Because when he was doing his journey, which, by the way, to circle the world one time, it took him 13 years. Nonstop. He came to Kanyakumari and pedaled a bicycle to the Himalayas. And on the way, one of the things he saw is how cruel and abused and exploited donkeys are. Now, here's a person from Britain who's an author of books, who's on international television because of his journey. He saw in our website or something that we have donkeys that we take nice care of. In India, they're taking care of donkeys? That was such a cultural experience for him. He saw a picture of these donkeys that were like combed nicely. And his wife, Tammy, is an animal rights activist. So they decided, we want to go there and honor those people who are taking care of donkeys. And they came. And So just less than a month ago, yes. I was in Mumbai when they came, and I came the next day. And when I came, they were crying, talking about how they never saw such happy cows. They went on and on for a half hour about how elated they are to see the cows. The cows are so affectionate. Because now they live in Colorado. And the cows in England and the cows in America, they know they're going to be slaughtered. They have that intuition. Whether they're dairy cows or whether they're in the meat industry, 100% they all get slaughtered. It's just a matter of when. So these cows, you could see, you could feel that they're loved. And because they're loved, they're so fearless and so happy and so protected. And they went on and on and on of just saying, we're so grateful to see what's happening with these cows. And I said, well, what about the donkey? You came to see the donkey. They said, oh, yeah, yes, yes, yes. The donkeys are very nice. You know, they're very, very happy. Never saw a brushed donkey before. In other words, they came because of something that they believed was based on a higher value, and then they can appreciate everything else. It's quite amazing, because he's very influential. He said, wherever I go in the world, I'm going to talk about the compassion you have for your cows and donkeys. So one person's heart is touched by just a little example of a smiling donkey. And when we're inspired by that example, we become instruments of those values. And the Artha Forum is a forum in which we come together to try to nourish the art of giving within each other, the art of serving within each other. And our home becomes beautiful, wherever it may be, when we can share this culture of devotion with our families, with our friends, with the society around us. In whatever our occupation is, through our words, through our actions, through our prayers. Because each and every one of us, when we connect with grace, grace is the sweetest, most beautiful, fragrant power in all of existence. And there's no power stronger than grace. When we connect to that grace and help each other to connect to that grace, individually and collectively, we really can make a difference. In Mumbai, there's the Birla House. And sometimes I go there to do programs. And they showed me one room. And in that room, Ghanashyam Das Birla, he used to bring just a few people, Gandhi, Nehru, Patel. They would all sit together to discuss this idea of Quit India. Freedom from the British rule. Just a few people coming together with an idea and a determination. And little by little, through their words, through their actions, It conquered the most powerful empire in the world at that time, the British Empire. In America, we were under the British Empire too, just like you were in India. And just a few people, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, these people, they just came together in a little conference and said, let's make a declaration of independence. It seemed completely insane and crazy, but they believed in it. And through their dedication, they got many people behind them. Many of the greatest scientific breakthroughs began with just one person sitting in a laboratory, not willing to give up. So we should have hope. No matter how much greed and corruption and everything there else is in this world, we should have hope that if we just keep pedaling that boat, Pacific Ocean's big. The current was stronger than our friend. But he didn't give up because he had hope. And this wonderful forum is an opportunity to come together, to try to share with each other wisdom, experience, realization, ultimately to bring us hope that each and every one of us, we can make a beautiful difference if we value the wealth of love, of service. Thank you very much.